The Coach Peggy Show. All things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. How many people in your life have told you you're half of this or half of that? Are you settling? No more. This show is about all things, and you deserve it. It's about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. We extinguish excuses and raise the bar to all things possible. It's time to use your ATM, you know, your all things mindset. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. Bold, badass, and never half in.
Oh, you guys, make it rain. All right. Hey, welcome today. I am your host, Peggy Wilms, and we talk about all things wellness and well-being. We also get real. You guys know that. Real people, real problems, real solutions. Let's see, real results and real stories. That's what we're going to do today. Before I get started, I want to remind you guys to make sure that you come back about the half hour mark. We're going to have a quick commercial and we're going to do a lightning round with these guys, just rapid fire questions. They have no idea what I'm going to pull out of my hat, and neither do I. So if you'd like to be a guest on my show, hop on to allthingswellness.com, the radio tab, fill out a quick form. And if you'd like to ever chat with me, just have your people find my people. All right, today's show title: From Suits and Scrubs and to Studios, These Three Pivoting Journeys. Listen to how intellectual this sounds. My three guests have mastered the art of reinvention. They have shape-shifted conventional jobs and forged new paths, aligning their burning passions and talents. Today's guests will inspire you and motivate you, and we might even make you spit your coffee out. Hello, you guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello, good to be here.
Hey, I want to start. I start each show just with a real quick quote that is somewhat pertinent to what we talk about, even though we have no idea where we're headed. Today's show: the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it, keep looking. Don't settle. Steve Jobs.
Nice. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, I was looking at you guys, your bios, and I was like, oh my God, when we talk about pivoting and three guests to be on this show, I can't even make up everything that we can talk about. We can talk about law and coaching and entrepreneurship, religion, geography, history, genealogy, IT, cyberspace, cybersecurity, sales, business strategy, audio and video productions, recruiting, hospitality. And Sia said the only thing we can't talk about is basket weaving underwater.
Well, we could. I just can't say I'm an expert.
Expert at it.
Just like awesome. We could talk about Chinese papermaking, but nobody here would know about that. I know a little bit about Japanese papermaking.
You guys, just so that you guys have absolutely no idea what Mark is talking about, I mistyped the other day and saying, you know, hey, in the promo for the show, Mark is a Chinese paper maker. And then I got a quick backlash on that. So, you know what I do want to do before we get started, though, in all seriousness, what I find is a lot of people, when we ask them, you know, like, what do you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Honestly, they don't do themselves service. So I just want to have you guys out there that are listening or walking or driving to be careful. But when I read these bios, you'll understand why I pulled these three together, which I didn't really do it. Mark didn't. Thank you, Mark. All right. Sia spent 20 plus years in tech and had a wonderful time working for the Disney company in her 20s. So we have a Disney princess in the house. She has several experiences and stories that resonate with audiences, and that's why she has her own amazing podcast. She is a self-proclaimed Tasmanian devil, producer of fun and compelling content, podcast fanatic, repeater of idioms. I'm telling you, she is the founder of the Brilliant Bee Media and co-host of the Not On This Business Bites podcast. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's one of the shows.
I know. you're out there. Brian Sagre is a performance coach and founding entrepreneur of his own coaching business. Brian works with people looking for their purpose and intention in life, and then helping them get unstuck, overcoming limiting beliefs. You guys, we all have that issue. And so that's going to be cool to see what he has to say about that. He believes that knowledge and expertise or experience brings us together, and brain neuroplasticity allows you guys to change your lives radically. Mark Reed, you know, I save him for last. Mark Reed is the host of Zen Sandwich Podcast and a maker of traditional handmade Japanese paper.
Japanese,
not baby. Chinese paper. Oh God! He lives in Yamaguchi, Japan. He's an attorney. He began his career as an assistant district attorney in New York. I could go on and on. I mean, religious studies, but he's also a best-selling author and one of my media partners. So now I stop talking and I say hello to all you guys. Hello, hello,
hello.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. So two of you are hailing from Texas, right?
Yes.
I think so.
Well,
yeah.
Brian?
Well, we're currently residing in Texas for me. And then there's a very, very proud Texan in the other person.
Down in the yes. corner there. Oh,
that's me.
That's you.
Yeah.
That's
you. I mean, there's more people moving to Texas than any other state.
One of the lightning round questions, which I'm going to do really quickly because, you know, I think we're on air, but we're not, and it's still going to be fun. One of them I was going to ask you, what is the most recent kind of random purchase that you've made? And I thought they're going to ask me. So I went in the bathroom and I got my little handy dandy pure white thing. That's and you have one.
Funny. I do. And I got it from a website that you mentioned before we went live. We are live again, I believe. I don't know if anyone's
we're live.
If someone's listening to us anymore, but if they are.
Yeah, they're so out of here. Okay. Unstuck.
Oh, circle yes.
Circle back around.
Yeah. So I think for like a long time in my life, I felt like I was being pushed into doing stuff. And I think one day I just realized that is a very short-lived way to have motivation and energy. It's better to be pulled into doing something. And so now I help people sort of realize the difference between just external pushes, right? Like people telling you, oh, you'd be great at this. You should do this. Or society. Yeah, you should do this. You should have the fancy cars and the extra vacation homes. That should be great. And then realizing that none of that stuff actually really does anything for you. And then I found the things that pulled me. And that's how I help people figure it out now also.
Yeah. When did you realize that you're kind of going to do your own thing? Was there something happen? Injury, get sick of being a podiatrist? What was your one?
When my dad died, I was a double fellowship trained surgeon, residency and fellowship director at Georgetown at the time, teaching orthopedics, plastics, and foot and ankle surgery, and pivoted in my career to come back home and take over the 50-year-old family trade company and help mom. Yep. And help mom from losing everything and her mind. And that point in my life, I realized that I had been doing the wrong thing the whole time. I'm sure I loved what I did, but I was not fulfilled. I was successful, but I had no fulfillment. And so when I found fulfillment, it was just much better for me. Sia's mocking me, which is hilarious.
I'm not mocking. I'm mocking the comment. They're like, Sia, put makeup on. I'm so sorry.
I love it, girl. I love it.
Sorry.
No. I'm going to come right at you anyway, Sia. I was thinking when Brian was chatting is that often we're good at something, but it doesn't mean we want to do it. Like I hate marketing and cold calls or rather kill myself, but somebody might say I'm good at it. And So Sia, let's go to you and just tell me, what does unstuck mean to you? And was there some, you know, straw that broke the camel's back for you to kind of reinvent yourself?
100%. When you're breaking out into hives, just to have a phone call. So I was in tech sales and we had weekly phone calls at I had to manage a relationship with a global 50 company with another global 100 company and for the United States. And we were not making our numbers. So nothing changed week by week, but yet they always wanted that meeting. And so it manifested in a massive hives and I didn't even know it was happening. So if you are that stressed where your body starts rejecting things, that's a sign, I think. So I realized I lost a passion and I'm young still enough, but tenure enough in my career, and I launched my own business. And I went traveling for a year and a half first, full disclosure. I recommend everyone, if you're that burnt out, you got to find some soul searching way, take whatever time you can afford, but take the time off to do it. It's worth it.
That's really good advice. That's good. Instead of just like throwing dice on the table and just pivoting a million different ways, which is exhausting trying to figure out what you want to do after you get rid of your hives. So what about you, Mark Reed? What was the unstucked gonna get out of the courtroom type thing? What happened to you?
Well, I was already out of the courtroom. I had moved on to civil practice. I was in the courtroom right out of law school. I was an assistant district attorney, as you mentioned at the beginning, and I was in the courtroom right away. I actually enjoyed that. but there were other reasons I left that. I left criminal law and moved into civil practice. And, you know, it's like I made a bad situation worse. My unstuck moment, I guess, it was building over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. But there was like one pivotal case that I had that I was like, you know, this is just, I'm not living the rest of my life like this. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, in a nutshell, without unpacking the entire case, I worked in securities law and I worked for a large prestigious firm. And we defended all the big banks and all the big brokers. So we defended, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, after the 2007-08 market crash, there were a lot of little people who lost money, and they were suing their brokers, and we were defending them. And I had one case. It was this little old lady, and her husband had died. She just took his pension money or whatever and didn't know what to do with it. She'd never worked a day in her life. Went to her little broker, and he said, oh, give me your money, and I will get you a 15, 18% return. You'll live off the interest, and so on. Long story short, she lost almost all of it. And then she went to her little local. Yeah, she went to her little local Joe lawyer, who had probably never had a securities case before, but I mean, he knew how to sue people. And so he files his lawsuit, but then there's 10 of us working just on this one case. I mean, there's like 20 or 30 of us in the securities law division of this major firm, and we're pros at this. And I'm having to draft motions that say, hey, your stocks are risky investments. She knew what she was getting herself into. She signed the prospectus. It says, you know, you can lose some or all of your investment. We're having to beat up this little lady who's like just trying to survive and who was misled by her broker. Yeah. And I thought, I can't do this for a living. Right. I like to I enjoy sleep too much. I like to sleep well at night. So
I don't want any highs.
Right. Enough's enough. So
enough's enough.
Yeah.
Wow. I saw something that Brian said in an interview or something where you were particular. I think you were talking about taking some time off because you're a runner, you're a marathoner. And when I was watching that, I thought, here's something that you obviously love to do. I mean, no one just goes, oh, let's run 100 miles. Obviously, you were good at it. But you said you got to a place where you want to take some time off because even though you loved it and you thought others wanted you to do that, what did you get to the place? Because if today we're talking about shape-shifting from what we really don't want to do, there's still another subject of when we are doing what we love to do and we still have to kind of step back, right?
Yeah, I think that it's really true. I mean, I think with a lot of stuff, especially with athletic performance, I think helped me a lot now in my life, learning that, you know, the discipline, dedication, hard work, there's just no way around that, right? Like people that are great golfers or basketball players don't hit 100 golf balls a day, they hit thousands, right? So you can't get around the hard work. There is no instant gratification, period. But there are times when you have to step back. And I think for me, you know, sports at the level that I was at, you know, I spent some time in Colorado Springs at the Olympic training facility, and it just became this thing where being told what to wear, what to eat, I've been open about this, performance enhancing drugs, that you either take them or they're not going to re-sign your contract. They're not going to, so it got to a point to where my health was sort of on the line, and I was studying medicine at the time. And I just told myself, like, I don't know if I want to spend the rest of my life or much more time doing this, because it's a great reward, but there's a lot of risk involved. And then it was the time before NCAA sports allowed people to get paid and take contracts and compete in the Olympics. And I may have accepted money when I wasn't supposed to, which nowadays wouldn't have been a big deal. And so I made some mistakes as a young person that wasn't really, I could have used a good lawyer back then, Mark, if I would have known one. Exactly. But yeah, so it was a combination of just like where the lifestyle was headed. Again, it was like the being pushed, right? I felt like running wasn't fun anymore. I wasn't running for the reason that I started to, and I just stopped.
Yeah, four of us our bodies, our vessel can only take so much, whether it's mental health or our physical body. And that's one thing that it's unfortunate, because there are signs there. There are some symptoms, but we tend to, especially when we're in business doing something, even as an entrepreneur, that we love our passion, because it doesn't tend to feel like work until you have 5 days of migraines. What would you say, Sia, if you look back and you had those highs, how far before then was your vessel, your body speaking to you? Was it a hot minute? Like, was it?
No, it was years in the making. Yeah. You can't do 20 years in tech sales and have a healthy lifestyle if you're not intentionally trying to live a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
It's there's too many opportunities to just drink it off. Like, you know, find unhealthy coping mechanisms, right? We are entertaining our clients all the time, right? So it's either lunch, dinner, breakfast, what are you doing, right? If you're not taking the time to either meditate or exercise, if I had just listen to myself a little bit more, I think I would have realized I was going through a massive physical breakdown. Like, yeah, it was bad. And what frightened me the most was the fact that I wasn't aware that my body was rejecting everything. That's what scared me the most.
Yeah. Like hop in, Brian. I mean, some of it, you know, I am just like so addicted to dopamine and mania. I mean, like I'm like a massive addict. And so if, you know, you get going, your adrenal glands literally until they die, like, especially with what you love, you guys are all entrepreneurs, you know, Mark, you're addicted to dopamine, correct?
I would say so. Yeah. But I did want to touch on something just mentioned about, using other coping mechanisms that is rampant in the practice of law. And, you know, I was sitting here, I was flashing back to, I'm making money as a lawyer, and after work, I'm having $20 scotches with my coworkers. But, you know, that lifestyle was almost miserable, and it was such an unhealthy habit. Like, people might look through the window of the Michelin star restaurant bar that I'm in and think, oh, that's so nice, I want to be there. But it's really not as great as it looks. It's really there's a lot of misery, a lot of stress, and those $20 scotches are, it's not worth it. They do catch up. And I saw it catch up to a lot of people, and I just didn't want to go down that path.
Yeah. It's I think the healthcare profession is probably one of the worst in that same scenario, in the sense that, you know, you can't, your client is the human body, right? And so especially all of us as surgeons, you take all of that home and you bury it or you drink it away. And the problem is that there is no safe space really to talk about it, because it's retaliation if anybody even knows that a surgeon drinks, right, a half a bottle of scotch a night, which so many of them are, because, you know, we're in the business to save people's lives, and people that are in the military are oftentimes in there to protect or to take them. And so it's like, even if you don't have enough stress in your personal life, there's a lot of stress just what you do in the day to day. And so, yeah, the most common thing, like Sia and Mark both said, is to find some way to cope and deal with it. And the problem is just that when most people self-medicate, it's not with runs in the park, swimming, or with journaling, right? It's with alcohol or something that's detrimental. And just like Mark, I had too many colleagues that ended up, you know, unfortunately not making it out. You know, the suicide rate in the healthcare profession right now is one of the highest, period. I couldn't spend any more time stuck in that vortex.
Wow. Yeah. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, social media, obviously, Instagrammers, you know, we've got all the Photoshop accusations out there to all the 15-year-olds. Everybody's doing it, but it's like that portrayal that everything is awesome. They're so financially stable and they get to work from home. I mean, because we are caught between, I'm sure, the three of you, now that you're even in more in everybody's face, there's that fine line between like, hey, I really got it figured out, and I know what I'm doing, come on and let me work with you. And then those days you want to be transparent and authentic where you're like, yeah, no, this is a mess. So, I mean, it's.
We ain't got time for that. Like, that's the thing. I think the illusion of a perfect life is exactly just that. And for those that try to put that out, I wonder to some degree is how authentic are your community that's following you? If they truly believe that, you know, you live this pristine, perfect life. I don't know of anyone that has that perfect, no matter how much money you have. Yeah. You might not worry about finances, but you got problems. You got 99 problems.
Right. That's why part of my message, I'm not plugging my show yet, but part of my message on Zen Sandwich, you can check at zensandwich.com on Spotify. No, but part of my message is, not to aspire to some kind of perfection. It's to embrace your imperfect life, to accept that your life is not perfect. And that's okay. It's human.
Well, and to what Sia said, I mean, the true problems in life that everybody has aren't fixed with money anyways, right? So it's like, it doesn't really matter how much money you have. The problems that every single person has in any walk of life is never actually solved by money. It's usually, you know, you're not hitting your core needs, whether it's significance, connection, love, growth, whatever, right? It's usually one of those core needs that's not being met. And money is not going to solve those typical problems. And so, yeah, it's just incredible to And Mark and I talked about this before, where you have these peaks in life where you keep trying to get to these high points, and then you get up there and you realize that the view from up there is just not what you thought it was going to be. And I think sometimes you have to live it to see it. And it's not all the hype.
That is it. I hate to say you got to live it to see it, because that someone's going to hear that and say, well, I've got to live it first. And I'm trying to tell you, you don't actually have to even do it. Don't even bother with, you know, I have been up on the 42nd floor in a building in Tokyo, looking over having those $20 scotches and all this stuff and thinking, wow, this is awesome. And then it was so fleeting. Yes, it was great, but it was great for 30 seconds or something. And then all the other stresses I had in my life are right there. And it's not that big of a deal.
I'm a big fan of kintsugi. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but I'm a big kintsugi, fan of
gold, repairing things with gold.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's going to be a broken vessel at some point, but how do you reassemble it? Right. And if you can resemble it with gold and glitter, let's do it. Right. why not? Own it. Because I think there is beauty in imperfection. And I say this all the time. The more imperfect you are at times, if you own it and aren't wallowing in it. And I think we need to be very clear on that, because I've been in one too many conversations where people have had challenges in their lives, but they can't seem to stop talking about it. It's a great point of reference, guys, there's so much more beautiful tomorrow, right? In the present.
That's a neuroplasticity, isn't it? Rewiring that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, right. It's like Dale Carnegie says, today is the tomorrow you're worried about yesterday. And I think that with all these highlight reels that you see on social media, I think it's amazing. I tell people all the time, if you just show up as yourself, guess what? It actually takes less energy, effort, and time to not create two separate people, right? When I share on social media, you're going to get the stories about my wife and I bickering, about the lows and the highs. But the beauty of it is that it takes you less time to just be who you are than it is to create some fake character.
Yeah, you're your own brand. I mean, everybody tries to be everybody else. I'm not for everybody. And I'm the first one to tell you that, you know, and if I'm not, just kind of move out of the way. You guys want to take a quick break? Come on back. We're going to have a lightning round with these amazing people. So stay tuned. And we're really not out of power. So come back.
Damayanti is the place for your soul, where you'll find inspiring reminders of your inner beauty and strength. Made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Our unique collection of Sanskrit mantras speaks of pure love, resilience, divine energy, and more. Damayanti, join us as we take our soul journey together. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special mantra that speaks to your soul.
Are you trying to build something new or break away from something that no longer serves you? Are your batteries drained or struggling to hold a charge? Let me, Erica Gifford Mills, help empower you to make and maintain the positive changes you are aching for. Together, we will make a plan for your growth and new path that you can accomplish. Visit my website, getrootedradio.com, to schedule your free Empower Hour today.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Hello, everybody. I want to talk to you a little bit about my upcoming course, the Not So Ordinary Job Search Formula. You need to be able to find a job that matches who you are. And if you want, on my website, you can also connect with me directly to find out a little bit more. Or you can also come to some of the webinars that I'm holding. I'm passionate about making people understand that they don't have to settle for just any job. www.reinventing-u.com/courses.
Would you like to become a published author by sharing a true personal story in collaboration with other amazing voices? We are currently accepting stories for Wellness GPS, Getting Prepared for Success, which is book 3 of the All Things Wellness trilogy. For more information about becoming an author and to reserve your spot, visit allthingswellness.com/authors, or you can reach out to me at peggy@allthingswellness.com. God, you guys, welcome back. It's been just an amazing journey here. I mean, we've run out of power a couple times over. We're all sitting here in the B-roll talking about perimenopause and how sore our feet are. I mean, Bengay or anything else we can find our hands on. All right, we're going to go into a lightning round. This is just real quick stuff. If you saw us in the beginning of the show, I was actually going to ask these guys, what is the last impulse buy you have bought? And I had pulled out because I thought they would ask me, you know, my little pure white thing here. And then Mark bends over in his little duffel bag and pulls his out. Like, I can't make this stuff up. I know. Oh, yes. We're not even getting paid. All right. So let's go. I'm going to ask you, Sia, first, what is the oldest object that you have in your life? Is it a blankie? Is it, what's the thing you've brought forward object in your life?
Okay. I'm kind of cheating. But we actually have a table. It's my boyfriend's great grandfather brought it from China, actual China, not Japan, China. And 1901, his father was a shipping engineer. And so it is this beautiful carved table from China. The good China.
Answer. Good answer. That's good. Stop.
I'm sorry.
I can't even, you guys, that's an inside joke. Hashtag joking, not joking. Brian, what about you? What's the oldest object that you have?
I would say the oldest object I have is probably 2 days after my dad passed away. I was walking somewhere randomly and I pick up pennies and I keep them just because it's something that I do. So I have collections of them if I have certain moments in my life. And that day I happened to see a penny that was heads up from the year he was born, from 1954. And so, yeah, so I'm super young. So actually that penny is like usually almost always with me in my pocket and it's not right now. But yeah, so that's the oldest thing I have besides the stuffed animal that I had when I was a kid that's named Lollipop. But I'm young. So that I'm only 40, almost one. So that penny is much older than me.
Oh, I tell you guys, he doesn't have a problem with his age. How many times are we going to hear how young he is with a birthday coming up and he's going to be traveling? See, he spit his coffee.
I'm sorry, Brian. Can you speak into my good ear?
Exactly. Okay. What about you, Mark? What's your oldest thing? And don't say yourself.
Well, I actually used to be a collector of things, of stuff, but actually through the years, I've moved around. I've been such a nomad all my life. I've lost things. And then at one point, I sort of wiped the slate clean. So I don't actually have a bunch of old stuff. Really? When I was thinking about your question, there's two things behind me. You can't really, the listener can't see, obviously, and even somebody watching this on a recording won't be able to see. But that picture right there that you can see me pointing to is a picture of my grandfather. He's now gone, with Bear Bryant, who, if you know anything about football, was like the greatest coach of all time until the current one of Alabama. And but he's like a god in the state of Alabama. Yeah. And it's like the highlight of my grandfather's life. So I love looking at that picture. So I've got that still. And yeah, I guess that's probably the oldest thing that I still cling to.
That's cool. Now that you talk about grandfather, I have to tell you a weird story. So in the last book that I just wrote, and Mark was a part of it, called Win the Wellness War, in the beginning of it, I started talking because I connected it to like wellness being about, you know, really metaphorically being in the military, like you need your rucksack and your goals and determined and be ready for it. And I did this little intro talking about what I have over here. One of my heirlooms is from 1835, and it's a New Hampshire Constitution, which is where I grew up in New Hampshire. And I did not know this when I was writing in that book. The book gets published. I'm walking around the house. We're pushing a best-selling campaign. And I look down for whatever reason. I see it. And it's just this beat up leather stained thing. And I just grab it and I open it. and it says H.E. Mahurin, which is the Captain Mahurin, six times grandfather I was talking about in the book that was part of the military. I'm like, yeah, we go way back and this is my family. And I started crying because, I mean, I looked at the book and I'm like, this is his book, like six time grandfather that was holding this book. It was like, you know.
Oh, that's an energy transfer, man. Oh, like, I would touch that thing. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was like, I still get goosebumps, like literally right now.
I did. Because,
oh, love bug. Oh, I got him on my legs too. Sexy wearing shorts up in here. Yeah. So, I mean, we all have those things. We had a Hurricane Ian that got really mad at our house and, you know, 70% of our house was ruined last year. And it was like, after that, I started thinking about like, what are the things like that? Because some people get so devastated with their family fires and they lose their, you know, photo albums and their great, great grandmother stuff. And then I started to realize, because I'm not kind of a material holdy object girl, but I was like, yep, I do have a few things that I would cry like a baby. Mm-hmm. All right, one more question. I'm going to come around. So what is, when you're all by yourself, Brian, all by yourself, you need some alone time, what are you doing? And be respectful.
No, honestly, for me, I actually, as someone who's super, super extroverted, that's something I have to have all the time is like, I have to have like an hour a day of just like solitude with like nothing at all. And it's anywhere where the sun is, not necessarily like even if it's cloudy, but I have to be outside of the four walls. So I spend, I'm a huge like nature buff. And so it's anywhere outside that I can be. I try to spend as much time as I can outside. So it's just being outdoors, whether it's like running, walking, sitting.
I love it.
But yeah, anytime I have time to myself, I'm outdoors on the property.
Yeah, me too. And watching Love Island, you know, that's just what I got. What about you, Mark? You're by yourself. What are you doing?
Well, likewise, I live out in the countryside of Japan now. And so like I'm surrounded by mountains and there's a river, a stream on the behind my house. And so I actually have a little, I call it the hamaki hideout, because hamaki means cigar in Japanese. And I like cigars when I can get a hold of them. And so I have like this little hideout behind my house. It's behind a garage. And what's that?
Not anymore. Not anymore.
Well, nobody could find it. But anyway, I have a chair out there, so I just go sit. And if I have a cigar, I go smoke a cigar and listen to the stream. And like, it's just my, I don't know, it's my Zen moment. I don't have to go to the top of a mountain. I just go behind my house with a cigar and I have a Zen moment.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, right? What about you, Sia? What do you do when you're alone? Please tell me that you do take time and do something.
Okay, first off, I got the hint, young man. I owe that.
I didn't say it.
There, two cigars.
I didn't mention it.
Foosball. I knew you were going to mention it at some point. Okay, so you'll get it. Don't ever make, if I can give anyone life advice, don't make bets when you don't look at the process to ship to Japan. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I forgot all about that. You owe me two cigars. I didn't bring that up.
Oh, you're such a pooper scooper. Oh, Yve. Anyway, for me, I'm I like to withdraw into myself and listen to music. Mm-hmm. I'm a music person. There's always a DJ in playing a song in my head. And so if I'm not at a concert physically, that is my happy place. Like I literally just go into this otherworldly moment in me when I'm at a concert. But if I'm at home,
that's your gig.
It's my thing. I just jam out to whatever music's in my head at that moment in time. And typically it's thematics. That's how I also know what my mood is.
Exactly. So. That's so true. I mean, these are all good points, right? It's not massages and journaling isn't for everybody, but for me, you can feel when that cup is full and it's like hashtag do more of that. Awesome. Okay, you guys, I want to ask you about your support system, because for me, even personally, that was a big deal of, you know, you're a physician and you're a lawyer and you're, you know, in marketing or IT, and you're doing what society, I mean, really the definition of success, that, you know, you're looking great, you're doing a great thing. And then you all of a sudden go, yeah, no, going to pivot and go over here. How did your support system change? Did they support you? Did you have to find a new tribe?
Yeah. So my support system for me, right, like is my wife, period. And then my family, like we obviously need to surround ourselves with great people in life. And I have a really small circle of amazingly close friends, but my wife has been the one true constant in my life for like almost 20 years. And She has moved with me from literally coast to coast, to Texas, to coast, back to the other coast. She's traveled with me internationally. She's never left my side. She's worked the entire time and built her own career and has never questioned a decision of mine, always called me out, and has never, ever, ever thought anything about my past that I've done that I think is probably skeletons in the closet, was something that she judged me for. And so for me, that's my support system, is my wife every day. And then aside from her, it's my family, and then a really, really small, close group of friends that honestly, all of my surgical friends that I'm still close with and some of the other residency directors are like, how did you exit like that? Teach us to get out of this mess, right? And so they actually did not reject what I did or question it. They were, I'd like to say, maybe a little FOMO, right? Like, how the heck are you doing this? But my wife is my support system.
Yeah, I think that support, I mean, just... CEO, you agree? I mean, just having that system behind you. I mean, sometimes fighting it and staying in your stuck place is just, it's a death sentence, right? Mental health death. What about your support group when you said, peace out, I'm going to kind of go do this thing?
It's funny you should mention that. So my partner I've been with for 21 years, and he's always been my rock in a lot of ways, but he's also extraordinarily like my opposite. Like, you can't get more yin and yang than us. So when I made the choice to leave corporate America, he was not exactly the most supportive of it in the context of, he's like, okay, I get you. I feel you. You're not well. Let's talk it through. Don't make any rash decisions. Cause I'm the type of person that's like, hey, there's a cliff. Let's jump. And then maybe think about getting that parachute. Right. So he's been such a great rock for me, just to make sure that, you know, if I'm going to do that jump, that there's something maybe to kind of land on. You know, be aware that you might want to land on something. Family, of course. But you know what's funny though? Family, and I say that with asterisks, family will always love you, but they're not your best supporters at times. Like, when I went into entrepreneurship, the first thing out of my mom's mouth was, well, how are you going to make money? Who's going to want to buy from you? And I'm like, wow, thanks for the vote of confidence, mom, you know?
Right. But I think some of that though, do you think, cause I've thought about this, that was the same thing with my family. I just wonder if it's just masked absolute fear. Like, they don't have the, like, oh my God, I can't believe what you're doing. It's my uncomfortable zone. I don't want you to fail, but it's masked. Like, you know, you almost want to run. I felt like a 15-year-old going, yeah, watch me jump out of my window.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, what about you? What about your support system when you said, you know, I'm going to leave the office and put up my suit? And
yeah, my story's a little different. I mean, I do have the best support system in the world currently. Similar to Brian and Sia, my partner, my wife. And, you know, she's my best friend. And but when I was making that transition, I was solo. I did it by myself. And I mean, I'm not saying that as a brag. It was tough. But I just looked around and, you know, the friends I did have, these were ties I had to cut. You know,
true. Good point.
I had to just say, like, you know, this isn't, these are the wrong people for me to be hanging out with. And so I just had to cut the strings myself and, you know, move to the other side of the world.
Yeah. Set those boundaries. Go ahead.
Can I add one thing that I didn't mention? And it's a new thing. And in fact, the three of us are actually part of it, is it's important to find your community and find your tribe. And so there is a group called Hounds of Business on LinkedIn that's how we all got to know each other, is through this community. And everyone's on their different stages of their entrepreneur journey. Some of them are still corporate people, but it's finding a lot of these guys. Like, I know I can call Mark, I can call Brian at 2 a.m. Wow. And they would pick up the phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It has happened.
That's awesome. And it has happened. And that's where I think it's, being an entrepreneur can be a lonely, lonely, lonely journey. But it's been a struggle for me to accept that I can call Brian, that I can call Mark, but they are there.
That, I think that's an excellent point because, when I was making the transition, the pivot, Peggy, I didn't have it. I was doing it by myself, but I'm much more well-versed in it now. And Sia is on to something here. You find your tribe. And I'm in a much better mental space to do that these days. So if somebody's coming into my circle of life and they're a Debbie Downer, you know, some kind of negative Nelly or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I politely don't allow them in my circle. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to be a part of, I just don't have time for that. And so I found my tribe with people like Sia and Brian. And yeah, you find the people who are going to be your support and who Absolutely. Are there for you. And so it's important. The thing is, they're out there. It's out there. You just got to look for it and you just find that support. 100. There are people like you, no matter what your thing is, there's somebody out there who's also into that and, you know, a positive influence. Go find
That's them. A good point. Yeah. Yep. Brian, when we go to rewiring the brain, I want to ask you real quick. So for somebody out there who is just, I mean, getting even their clothes ready on a Sunday night or thinking about it, it's just nauseating, like they just don't want to do the corporate gig. What can you tell them to either do as a little tip or trick to kind of rewire some stuff and find a new lane maybe?
Yeah, I think one of the easiest things for people to understand is that most people don't realize that your belief system that you carry around like your entire life, and that almost every decision that you make in your life is based off of, is formed in most people by the time you're 7 years old, right? Your belief system that you go through your entire life with is formed when you're seven. And so one of the first things I tell people is I just tell them that. And I tell them that those things that you believe or that you know to be true or that society tells you are likely false. And so anything in your mind that you think is an actual fact, I tell them just find three pieces of evidence to prove to yourself to the contrary of that, right? And so I'll have them do that like right in the moment. And then they'll look at me and they'll say, oh my gosh, I've thought my entire life that I was scared of dogs or whatever it is. And instantly in that moment, they realize that they've been living that untruth forever. And the transformation may not happen right in that moment, but just giving them the awareness that their core belief system was founded when they were that young makes people That's realize cool. that they have the power to change.
Yeah, and it takes a little bit of the blame off, right? The first thing we want to do is, number one, not give ourselves permission, heaven forbid. But it takes some of the like, oh, hey, that's a statistic that hits all of us by age seven, and go back and dissect that and blame it on somebody else.
Right, exactly.
Just kidding. So see, I want you to think about everybody out there and just think about a call to action. And so what is something that you can ask somebody either to do today or this week to kind of reassess where they are and to become, you know, a Disney princess? Tasmanian devil.
I am a Tasmanian devil of ideas.
Yes, you
okay,
are.
Maybe your personality too. But, okay. You know, I get this with all my clients all the time. And these are my corporate clients too, which is I see a lot of challenges that people have both personally and professionally stem from not knowing who they are and what motivates them and why they're doing something. And I know it sounds so cliched, but it's so true. If you know why you're doing something at the root cause, and usually when I say, what is your why, is ask yourself questions, answer it to the point where you start hitting an emotion. Once you start crying, yes. you found your why.
Yes.
You know yes. what I mean? And that to me is what gets you up in the morning. That's what tells you that, hey, I'm having a down day, and and you give yourself an allowance to have that down moment, but to pull yourself up and out of it, or to say, I need help. And by the way, I'm going to do a shout out, Walk Tall. So you could, I'm a supporter of the Walking Tall movement, where either you can find strength in your vulnerability, or you've got your vulnerability in your strength, right? So, and you reach out to yourself or the community of others. So find out why you are motivated yeah. to do what you do, because it really does center you. It really does center everything that you do in your life.
Yeah. You peel back that onion and peel it back and peel it back until you cry, right? Figuring out that, because there's always a deeper why. Well, why, you know, why do you do that? Why are you afraid of money? Where did that come from? Well, why? So what about you, Mark? What would be a call to action or something that you would tell somebody to take a step to? Find well, your passion and maybe get a paycheck out of it, heaven forbid, or not.
I'm actually gearing up for a TEDx talk in January. And part of the talk that I plan to give, I want to talk about like intuition plus belief in yourself equals momentum. And what I mean by that, part of the talk, I talk about the first time I came to Japan, which was nearly 27 years ago. And I had never been anywhere. I was a young man. I was barely 21 years old. I'd barely been out of Alabama. Going to Florida was like going to another country for me. You know, mm-hmm. going to Six Flags over in Atlanta was like an international trip for me. That's all I had. Yeah. And so the first time I was on a plane to Japan, I was sweating profusely. I was shaking. I was trembling. I was about to throw up. Yeah. And they shut the door of the airplane. I'm like, oh my God, there's no turning back now. You know, why would I put myself through something like that? This is the intuition part. Cause I had to, I knew that I had to, I just had to do it. I had to go see the world. And I listened to that intuition that I've got to go see it. I got to go do it. And then the other part of it is belief that I can do it, that I can, you know, yeah, I'm sweating and I feel sick, but I can do this. You know, I can do that. I'm going to do this. Yeah. And that's gotten me through. Intuition plus belief in myself has gotten me to become a lawyer and got me out of it. Like, it's the reason I went to school, because I believed in myself that I could do it. And then I realized, oh, I don't actually want to do this. And I believed I could get out of it. That intuition and that belief in yourself, that's what gets you through. And so listen to your intuition and believe that you can do what you want to do.
I said to one of my co-authors, Dennis Patoko, this morning, we're writing a compilation book on Unsheltered, as you know, Voices from the Street. So we're gathering actual stories from people who are homeless or have been homeless. And I was saying to him this morning, it just cracks me up when people say, you know, you keep going forward or stand still till you can go forward. It's like, there is no stay stuck and stay where you are. You're either falling backwards or you're moving forward. You've got to keep taking kind of some sort of baby step. There's no just staying stuck, because if you don't do something, you're falling back. Brian, let's tell everybody where they can find you and what you have coming up.
Yes. So you can find me on LinkedIn is the best place to find me right now. I'm working on two books right now. Those have been on the back burner for a while, but I'm finally getting around to doing that. Currently right now, I'm trying to keep my really spunky corgi from wrecking the audio over here. Harley loves to cause trouble. And honestly, like for me, I think that, you know, I think in life, you know, I love what Mark said and what Sia said. And I think that at the end of the day, for me, most people are looking for some sort of clarity. I think your purpose and your why is fantastic. I think people don't realize that it can change. It's not just one thing. And so I think one of the most incredible things people are missing in life is what I think is actually clarity. And so I tell people that don't forget that clarity never comes before action. So for me, I think action is the answer to almost all troubles that we have. And I use this analogy, and I'll be very quick. I lived outside of San Francisco for a while where it's really foggy. And I tell people, if you don't believe that clarity comes after action, imagine you're in a car and you're trying to drive 20 feet, but you can only see 10 feet in front of you. Well, the only way you get to 20 feet is by moving 10 feet. And that's how you gain clarity. And so much of what I do with people is getting them to just take that first step. And like Mark said, that momentum will build and you throw in some leverage. And then before you know it, you're on your way.
Oh man, I love that. You guys, make sure you find him on LinkedIn. He's got lots going on and you want to be a part of that. Sia, tell everybody where they can find you and what you have going on.
You can always find me on LinkedIn, guys. Either I'm doing a live stream or I have a podcast or I am producing someone else's show and or many other fun little things. So LinkedIn, you guys, S-Y-Y-A, you'll find me. And if you don't find me, I'd be very shocked. Or type in Tasmanian Devil. Apparently you can find me that way as well.
Can't wait to see that TikTok channel start.
Or you can find us in the team at Brilliant Beam Media. So brilliantbeammedia.com.
Perfect. Mark Reed, tell everybody where they can find you and what's next. TED Talk, obviously.
Yeah, TED Talk's going up in January. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. And then if you want to find the show, you can just type in Zen Samich pretty much anywhere. Spotify, Apple, Google. I think Google's doing away with their podcast pretty soon. I got an email or something, but somebody's taking over the Google podcast realm. I'm sure, though, you can still go onto Google and just type in Zen Samich. And I don't have any competitors. Yeah, I'm there. Or just zensamich.com.
I love it. You guys, it's been great. I mean, you know, we could stay here forever and whether we had any electricity or not. Sorry, Sierra. You guys did a great job. And honestly, let's stay connected, and you guys make sure you find these guys. There's so much going on, but look at the history out there too. They've got YouTube channels and see where they've come from, because with social media, wherever we are today, you don't have the right to jump into my chapter today because there are a lot of chapters before me. So And you guys want to catch any of the books, I just wrote a book, a best-selling book with my 29-year-old son, children's book. And I got to just leave you with one thing that was just so hard. I couldn't even believe it. So the other day I got a video of, I can't even tell you how far down the family tree it is, where she, great, 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 whatever over here, was reading Tanner's and my children's book to her 30-year-old grandson. And I had the video sent to me, and I hadn't heard from that family member for 45 years. And so please, you know, Brian, get your books out there. It changes lives whether people come back around you or not. So here's the giveaway for the first five people that email me at peggy@allthingswellness.com. I will autograph the last three books and send them your way. You can either burn them or give them to somebody. And you can show up a couple of weeks from today at noon Eastern Standard Time on October 27th for our next show. And I'm going to thank you guys so much. And I just could talk to you forever, and we'll have to do this again and cover all that stuff that, you know, we didn't chat about, but.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Bye, you guys. Take it away, Sierra.
You've been listening to The Coach Peggy Show, All Things Wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in live on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Coach Peggy talks all things wellness, not just nutrition and fitness, but about all things, about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. The Coach Peggy Show, bold, badass, and never half in. For more information or to connect with Coach Peggy, visit allthingswellness.com. The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.